Okay, if you would turn in your Bibles, we're going to look at a passage about Palm Sunday here, and then I'm going to use that. Again, I'll just prelude all of this with the fact that Reggie's prayer, words in the songs, go to the heart of what the message is. And so, again, I can speak with confidence that what the Lord has shown me is what He wants to give to you. So I hope that you take it for what it is and receive it and ask God to make it real, make it something that you will be contemplating and asking God to work into your life. I'm doing that for me, for my life. So here we go. Did I tell you where we're at? Alright, John chapter 12. Gospel of John chapter 12. John 12:12 to 19, verse 19. Then I want to talk about that. John 12:12. On the next day, which was 5 days before the Passover of that year, people had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes, sitting on the donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things that were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that were with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle, raising Lazarus from the dead. And so here were people that were coming to see, Jesus the prophet is coming to Jerusalem for the feast. And they came and they had heard that he had raised Lazarus from the dead not too many days prior to that. And they wanted to come and see Jesus and they wanted to honor Jesus. And they threw down the palm branches in front of him as a sign of respect for a coming king. And they even say those very words, "Hosanna to the Son of David," which was a messianic title. They were looking at him as the coming Messiah, the coming King of Israel, the coming Savior of the world. So they understood what was happening. And here's Jesus at the pinnacle of his ministry at this point, where it looks like if we jump down, we're at 19. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Do you not perceive that we're not prevailing? Behold, the world is gone after him." So they saw what was happening, that them trying to downplay Jesus and get people not to be following him, they're finding that it isn't working out too well for them. Jesus is at the top of his game, in other words. All these people are going after Jesus. And it was like what Melinda said, you know, within 5 days, he has been arrested. He gets crucified. Right? He's in the grave for 3 days. The resurrection part, we're going to wait for next week. But this was quite the week. And I'll tell you, it's been quite the week this past week, huh, Kenny?
Oh, yeah.
We've had it. It's been quite the week for us. You know, you can be on a high, and all of a sudden, almost from one moment to another sometimes, you can be down at a very low point. And here's Jesus, who seems to be able to handle it all. Right? He handles the high, he handles the low. What a great example, wouldn't you say? Now, I want you to see if I... Yeah, I want to do this right now. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Now, Jesus is our example, and we find here something that is stated by the prophet Isaiah that helps us understand how Jesus did this in the form of a man. He was the Son of Man. He was the Word made flesh, and he lived out this life in the flesh, listening to the Father. Isn't that right? He only did what he heard the Father tell him to do. That's how he limited himself. As God the Son made flesh, he limited himself, that he wasn't doing anything in his own prerogative, in his own power. He limited himself to only knowing and doing what the Father said to him. That was all pre-planned. That was how it was going to be. We find here in Isaiah chapter 26, I'm going to start in verse 2, but it's verse 3 that is the key one. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Now, because I was in the Word for the message, certain words pop out at me when somebody's praying or somebody is saying, commenting before the time of the message, and words just pop out to me in Reggie's prayer and in that first song, Jeremy Camp's song. Talked about having our eyes fixed. Reggie used the word fixed three times in his prayer. Three times. In the song, that word was in there. Yeah. Now, I really feel like the Lord wants to say to us that we need this constant reminder. We need this thing where we say, God, I want to be at that point where my eyes are always turning to you. Did we say that?
Yes.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yes.
About turning our eyes to him. There's something in here for us. And we know this up here. We've experienced this from time to time. But if this is a rhema word, there must be something that we're to grab in and say, God, I don't want to miss what you're trying to say to me today, because it seems like there's confirmation. There seems like there's something for me in what you are saying through the songs, through the prayers, and through the message. Talk about confirmation, right? That word, to keep the truth in verse 2, means to guard the truth, to be obedient to the truth. And then the main verse there in verse 3, we find that we have perfect peace. This is why Jesus could be at a high point and then be at a low point and still be doing okay. Right? His emotions were tested, but he came through that perfectly when he was in the garden. He says, Father, if it's possible, take this away from me. I don't really want to have to go through this kind of suffering. But he understood what the will of the Lord was, and he was willing to do what he was required to do by the Lord, by the Father. And he was okay with it. Wasn't he? He was calm when he talked to the disciples in the garden. But it says that this perfect peace is for those whose mind is stayed on thee. And that word stayed means to be fixed. You know, this morning I was looking at a mirror that was in the rec room that Kathy and I had put up. One of the few times we really got upset with each other is when we're doing some little house project together. So, no, that's straight across. No, it's not. It needs to go up. No, it doesn't have to. It's right just the way it. No, it's not right. You know, but the word fixed came to me because we had to get the screws in the right place so that mirror would be fixed onto the wall. It's not going to be moved, right? We wanted it so that it wasn't going to move. And this is what we want to be in our walk with God, isn't it? Where we're not moved, we're fixed. We're fixed on him. We're not looking at somebody else. We're not allowing emotions to move us and take us out of the way. We're not going to allow stupid thoughts that go through our mind that want to divide, that want to bring us down, make us feel depressed. That's not for us as kids of God, right? So it's important for us that we find that place where our mind is fixed. It's not going to the left or the right. It's going down that highway of holiness. It has a focus, and we constantly have to remind ourselves day by day, where am I going? My heart is fixed to go and be a servant of Jesus Christ, to be an example of him, to allow him to work in my life the things I need to get worked in and the other things that need to get worked out. Right? And this requires not some casual little kind of thing. Jesus had a fixed mind. He wasn't going to allow the fact that he was going to have to suffer and die to keep him from serving the Father. One of my favorite scriptures when I was younger and still is today is in the book of Job, where Job says, though he kill me, yet will I serve him. That really inspired me when I read that for the first time with an understanding. I thought, man, he's serving God. He's going to serve God no matter what God does to him. And we can be really, why is God doing this to me? Why do I have to go through this? Nobody else seems to be having to go through this, but I have to go through this. Even though everybody else goes through that, but you kind of put that on yourself, that there's some special thing that God might have against you. I'm talking to the right group of people, right? You know, that's how we are. That's our flesh nature. And the enemy tries to divide us away from God, divide us from our brothers and sisters. That's what he's always looking to do. There is that battle. And that was brought up this morning prior to this too. There's a constant battle. And the enemy isn't going to stop just because we're hurting and we're bleeding spiritually. He's ruthless. He's out to devour, chew us up, and spit us out. And if that's only just a mental concept, if you don't know that in your knower, and that it's serious, and that you and I could be the victim, you could be a victim. I could be a victim of the way the enemy knows how to work his little work. And that's important for us to realize this is life and death in that regard. Could be spiritual life and death. Could be physical life and death. But it is serious. And you know, the big thing I think is that the enemy tries to, for Christians, is to try to steal the joy of the Lord from Christians who have the victory. Right? Yeah. We have the victory. If we move in the Spirit of God, there's nothing that the enemy can do to us. And though we could be killed for our faith, our physical dying is no big deal. Because we're listening to God and our heart is fixed on Him. How about that? That should encourage us today with what all the junk that you have to deal with, you know? Mm-hmm. How many of you feel pressure in your life?
Malcolm, I have a good side note. Can I read it?
No.
I know you're not even going to let me.
Yes, yes.
So it says, peace of mind must precede peace in every other area in our lives. Isaiah 26:3 promises perfect peace to those who keep their minds on God.
Yeah.
When we allow our minds to wander and we think too much about everything we do, we push ourselves out of peace and into turmoil. When we think about the future and the responsibilities we have, we can be overwhelmed. This kind of thinking is called anxiety. Likewise, we grow anxious and lose our peace when we spend today trying to figure out tomorrow, or when we try to live tomorrow in our minds today.
Yeah.
We will never enjoy the rich and fruitful lives God intends for us unless we learn to discipline our thoughts and resist anxiety by keeping our minds on God. I often say, where the mind goes, the man follows. Let your mind lead you into peace.
Yeah, yeah, that is a mind battle, isn't it? You know, because we're thinking beings. We're supposed to use our brains. We're reasonable animals. We have reason, right? And so we use it. We lean on that instead of leaning on. I mean, it's good to use it, but we have to make sure we know where we're leaning.
Jason, I'm not debating that, but don't you think at some point, actually often, we need to think about what we're doing and why we're doing it? Because sometimes we start off on what we're doing is what God wants, but then we change it to what we want, and the devil is able to work that. But we still think we're on this path of, I don't know, righteousness or following God's will, but we're not anymore. We're following our own, and it's kind of a trick, I guess.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to me, you have to think about it. You always have to check yourself to make sure.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That has to happen.
And every step, weigh it up against
the
Word.
Because,
constantly assessing what you're doing and weighing up what the Lord says is right in His Word.
You know, when messages come and it's hard to touch on every little aspect, you know, the overall message, I hope, is that we understand that we're to be people that are checking things by the Word of God, that there's a constant thing where day by day we're listening as a disciple, you know. So that requires what you're saying, Jason. That requires us to be thinking talking to God and listening to God to be able to keep ourselves from taking our own mind about a direction God wants us to go in and then mess it up because we're going by our own thoughts. Because that's what you're talking about, right? So, yes, once we have a direction doesn't mean we just go gung-ho and just do as we think. We have to submit and resubmit all the time that we're going in the right direction on things, right? So that is an important thing. And sometimes the messages will come and it can't touch on all those things, but hopefully when you hear, take the whole counsel, things that have been said all along. Sometimes things do need to be brought up, and that's why it's good for you to say this, because if somebody was missing something there, I want people to realize that what you said is absolutely true. This is something where we don't go in our own strength after we get a direction from God. It's constantly God. We have to be sustained. We have to lean on Jesus. And that's another aspect of what that word is. To be fixed also means to lean on. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. You know? I like it when Kathy's, we're walking or sitting in a car or something, and she leans on me. I like that. Isn't that cute? But that's the kind of thing that God wants out of us. He wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to be fixed on Him. You see? I think that's a pretty cool thing. All right. So, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy where it says about God is our refuge. And underneath are the what? Everlasting arms. Right? We lean on His arms. You know that song?
Yes.
Leaning on the everlasting arms, right? So this is all in the aspect of what the Lord is speaking to us today. Is dealing with the fact that we need to be fixed. We need to be leaning on those everlasting arms. We need to continue to have that, develop that relationship with God. This was what I think Steve was talking about at the beginning of when he was saying about what happened yesterday. The Catholic priest was the one who talked about the inner person and how important that is that we develop that, which means a prayer life, a worshipful life with God, that we actually cultivate that. I think lots of Christians talk about it, do it for a few minutes, and feel okay about it, when this is what we really, the basis of us as a disciple, the basis of us growing in Christ is, you know, the more you know Him, the more we want to be like Him. Isn't that right? The more we find out we're not so much like Him. When I was a young Christian, I thought I was doing real good. And as I grew in my Christianity and grew as a Christian man, I found out that I was further away from Him than I thought I was. Am I going backwards? No, I'm just seeing my life in comparison to, because I'm getting to know Jesus more, I compare myself and I go, wow, I'm really bad off here. Right? God help me. That's the place the Lord wants us to get for us to see. We need to lean on Him. We need to focus on Him. We need not to be upset with ourselves and downtrodden when we come up short, when we do look at or make any kind of comparison. We're going to come up short. But God gives us through our weakness, He can be made strong. Right? This is an encouraging message for us. This is how God loves us to the point that He, you know, we're to move toward perfection, but He loves us all the way through the whole process. We don't have to get to some place before He starts loving us. He loves us right now. Isn't that great?
Yes.
He loves us right now. As hokey and stupid and sinful and everything else that we are right at this very moment, He loves us and encourages us to turn our eyes to Him, awake from the dead, and Christ will give us light, right?
Yes.
Somebody had a hand up. Steve.
Yeah, going back to that interior thing that Jeremiah Morris talked about, knowing the mind of God, knowing life with God, and having a heart for God, you can't do that if you're not connected to Him.
No.
And when you do connect and you follow that, then you, as Jason was saying, then you don't go down that path. He's got you going where you need to go.
Yep. You're already in the right direction. Hebrews chapter 12. How many of you know that things that can be shaken are going to be shaken? In fact, a lot of them are shaken.
Yes.
There's things in my life that I didn't know could be shaken that have gotten shaken. You know, here I am, you know, I just turned 70 a little bit ago. Well, more than a little bit ago. But I'm 70 years old, and, you know, you start thinking about, hey, I'm starting to get up then. And, yeah. Warren is saying, what are you talking about?
Warren is still young.
So, but, you know, certain things start coming in, and I'm thinking, you know, about death or you know, homes. What if I get what's that called?
Alzheimer's.
That was pretty good, you see. You know, Alzheimer's. You know, like, oh man, I don't, and all that, and then the enemy starts coming in and flooding my mind. Well, what if that does happen? And what if this happens? And then before long, there's this flood of stuff coming at me, and I'm not in peace. I'm not at peace at all. And I'm getting tested there, and I've got to get my mind turned around, and I've got to get my eyes on Jesus. You know, I've got to trust the Lord. Things are going to work the way it needs to. Gerald?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but I kept being pushed to say this. But with all the tragedies that I've had in my life and everything, I never blamed God. But
right.
I've had a lot of Christians come up to me and say, well, why aren't you mad at God? Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at each thing that's happened as a stepping stone closer. You know, because my faith grows stronger because every time something happens, something good comes out of it. You know, which is, God's answering everything I need.
That's right.
You know, so I just give you that.
And that's a good place to get our heads, right? Because that's what we're talking about here. So, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27, and this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which can't be shaken might remain. Therefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, cannot be shaken, fixed. It's fixed. There's a definite unmoving about that. The kingdom of God is not going to be moved. It's not going to be shaken. That's a good place to get to. Isn't it? And since we receive that, it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He's going to burn up things. He's going to even burn up our misguided conceptions of him and the church and what particular parts of this word mean if it's not correct. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's going to burn it.
Yeah.
It's trash. It's going to get burned. It's going to get moved. It's going to get shaken. And whatever we hold on to, we can be shaken by it, right? But we're not receiving a kingdom that's going to be shaken. But our eyes better be fixed on the right place or we will get shaken with it. Right? You understand? So, God says a few things here to me. One is, keep your eyes turned to me. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Trust me. Diane was talking about trust in her prayer. Trust me. Keep trusting me. You can trust me. He says to us. Isn't that what faith is? Faith is trust. So keep our trust in the Lord because things are happening and things are going to happen in a greater and greater way and we don't want to be shaken. I was shaken a few days ago with the whole omnibus bill. I was all upset. You know, and I have my reasons why. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, the Republic is done. But that's my, you know, I could be shaken there. And I had to say, no, wait a minute. God can intervene and change things around. You know, if you can be up here one moment and then down here another moment, it can happen the other way around too. Again, you can be down here and then up there. God can change things around, and my trust has to be on Him, not on political situations. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I need to understand political situations. I need to understand how to vote right to get the right kind of people in there. So it isn't that we just throw everything, the baby out with the bathwater, but my heart has to be in the right place. My focus, my attention should be fixed on Christ and my trust in Him. Right?
Right.
And that's what this is all about, and that's what this is about today. Is that, man, whether we're up high or down low, we're going to keep our focus on Him. We're going to turn our eyes to Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's where it's going to stay. Our heart is fixed. And when that happens, like Isaiah 26 says, our hearts are at perfect peace. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And that's where we want to be no matter what. Some things we're not going to change. We don't make everything beautiful because God's going to put us in a protective bubble from the bad things that happen in life. We're still going to get them, but our hearts are going to be in the right spot. Mm-hmm. Our hearts will be able to handle anything. Mm-hmm. And what I see coming out ahead of us, that's where I want my heart. I want to be nice and steady, focused, going in the right direction, keeping my eyes on Jesus. And I know that's what you guys want too. And the Lord's just reminding us here this morning. Turn your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't let the thoughts about all the bad things that are happening in the world take joy from you. Get your attention somewhere else when we have a living Christ, a living Lord that fills us and gives us what we need at the right time. Isn't that great?
Yes.
We have a loving God. Amen. So Lord, I ask that we keep our eyes fixed, that we sustain this desire to know you, to take time, Lord, to pray to you and to just sit at your feet. Pray, Lord, that we lean on the everlasting arms. This is where we go. Thank you, Jesus, today. You are so loving, so good to us. You are our refuge and our strength. And we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.